When I swim, cover me. When I hide, something knocked me out the weeds, and it hurts my teeth. Cover me, darling, please. Hey, 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 muskie, muskie, muskie. Don't you know you're gonna shock the muskie? I know about that. There is one thing you must be sure of. Can't take any more. Darling, don't you monkey with the muskies. Hey, 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 muskies, muskie, muskie. Don't you know you're gonna shock the muskies. Hey, hey, shock the muskies.
Right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Hey, Steve.
Penguin, buddy.
Yeah, great. Great weekend.
I'm here. I'm broadcasting live from the Power Jeep.
Are you the source of the Canadian wildfires? I'm just going to flat out ask you right now because I'm sick of it.
Okay. I have an alias. Larry Firebug. That's my okay. Alias. Okay. Yeah.
Well, do something about it while you're up there, if you could.
Huh?
Do something about it, if you could, when you're up there.
I've been throwing pots of water at trees.
There you go.
Been doing my best. Anyway, what have you been doing, buddy?
Fishing, same old stuff, you know, working, all that. How about this week? How's it going in Canada?
It's crushing. I'll tell you what, in a miraculous turnaround, Josh Krieger got the Northwoods Muskie Report done this week.
Oh, so okay.
That exists. That exists. So Danny, everybody pulled her out this week after Dad called them, you know. Daddy had to get on the phone and spank some took us and say, get to it, boys. People need the info. It is. I get it, though. It's a grind. It's not a grind, but like I was talking last week, it's such a dialed thing. You know, and you're running such crazy hours, and it is peak muskie season, but the people need the info right now. But, excuse me, that's Jay. You hear that?
Yeah.
Right there. That's that. Remember freaking Matthew McConaughey and Wolf of Wall Street, and he's pounding his chest, right?
I do.
That's me trying to get the phlegm out from these Canadian lung darts.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little rough. Anyways.
Okay.
Jay, I'm going to need you to pump up the muskie numbers, okay?
In what way?
I don't know. Anyway, long story short, you asked. It was crushing, you know, just absolutely crushing. Me and my boy Mike Lowe, it was Hammer of the Gods, cue immigrant song, unbelievable good. Unbelievable good. Just Slayer kind of days. But something that I actually told you, we were just gabbing about, and it sounds so stupid, and it sounds bad, and I'm not trying to be trite, which is some fish just don't deserve the iron during the major. Like, right now, I'm seeing a shift. It's not as majory as it once was. I'm going to check in with the Herbecks today and see what they've seen the last few days. But I've seen a shift to a kind of a more minor thing. Right?
Interesting. Okay.
And this year, at least for me, is the year of having shots at Hogasaurus Rex. So, Mike got to see his first absolute dinosaur. He actually hooked the thing, and we had a long conversation about that is what a different caliber fish feels like. Right? Where, why do we have such heavy rods? Right? You know, you look at the, you go, you know, a musky shop heavy shield rod and a 40-inch fish, that's fun. But we got into one where we're bent, Jay, all the way down to the last line guide. Right? Real head shaker. And so it's been one of these deals where, to be honest with you, if you're running Canada, you're running big fish water, just don't even waste the net time because it's so cast and blast. You've got to run and gun during that time because when that bite opens up, it is X, Y, and Z. You know, I'm seeing such narrow bite windows, right? The other thing is how imperative it is. You better know the lake to the in the capacity that you can identify things in your area. I've said it so many times on the podcast where you go, okay, we just pulled a fish off, let's say, a rock shelf that drops off into 30, right? You get one, you get hooked up. Where are you going next? Right? Where are you going next? Do you have the time to get there? And what's in your immediate vicinity? So knowing the lake, having map knowledge, having a good feel of where you're fishing and building that repertoire of areas to go, oh, okay, well, this is just like where we caught a fish. If you have that lake knowledge and you've done that map study and you've done, you know, when fish aren't biting and you're going, okay, oh, this is that, it's paid off so big, Jay. Just paid off in spades where, you know, just be able to just go, oh, okay, I need a 15-foot rock shelf. Or I know where four of those are. And I hit four of them, we catch three. Right? So it's not even just pattern recognition. It is area recognition as well.
How long you given these spots? In the heat when you need to be running and gunning per se.
I'll tell you the way I know, because right now, at least where I'm at, I have caught nothing outside of those windows. No hammer handle pike, no dinky pike, nothing.
Crazy. Yeah.
Right? Nothing is happening. Then the first pike hits and you shake him off or you chuck him like a football. And you get out of there and you start going, because when things start going, it's going fast. And so when we're going through areas, I'm still saturation casting, right? I'm still making sure we're getting the coverage because proximity hasn't changed. Activity levels have changed. And that is so crucial where you can't just go spray and pray. So you're kind of relegated to, let's say, you've got a major and you got 2 hours. For me, depending on an area, how big it is and how truncated the bite is, Jay, if I pull that first fish off of, you know, a shelf, say it's a rock weed shelf, right? And I pull the first fish off that, well, those are usually pretty small, right? You don't get a vast rock weed shelf. The butt kickers are when we get back weedy bay. Right. And so right now I'm seeing main basin is king, absolute king, like main basin. So I'm looking for weeds, rock combo off of main basin. That's been the story of the year. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are manageable. What I'm seeing though, obviously you get a big cold front come through. And I think we talked this week, we had a heck of a blow up here. You know, 70, 80 mile an hour winds. That was exciting. But the next day after that, that main basin bite was gone. And I went, well, what would happen? Where would I go? What would I do? You know, 4:30 a.m., first light out there. And those things are pushed back into those kind of those big, weedy, nasty bays, right? Stacked in there like cordwood. So, you know, it's one of those deals where if you have a narrow set of parameters where it's rock shelf and weed, or say it's just a rock bite, those are quick. You can hit a bunch of those when you get into that big back weedy bay, because you get that vast area and you still have to hit them on the forehead. You still, right now, what I've seen when I was with Herbie, the deal is still the same. You got to get close. Proximity matters incredibly. I've never seen it that tight. I've never seen the bite windows this tight, and I've never seen how close your cast landing matters, right? Front of the boat, back of the boat, be damned. Doesn't matter who landed the closest. That's kind of that vibe. That make any sense? Or
yeah, well, like you said, that's kind of like Endgame. They get pushed into a Weedy Bay situation for a day because of what was that? You said that was basically like the day after the cold front.
Oh yeah, that next morning, we got hit with
needle in a haystack.
Rip the freaking TV off the wall. The flat screen came a flying. You had the windows open in the cabin, and boom, there she goes.
I didn't know they ran flat screens in Canada.
Well, they just got them anyway.
Well, I got you.
But no, that was a storm and a half. That was something else. There was, got an alert on my phone. Apparently, the weather service up here likes to send you the scariest shit you've ever gotten. There's a tornado on the ground in your service area. That's great. That just makes you just super happy. So I don't know if it actually happened, but my phone, you know, the National Weather Service stuff, you just get pinged with the beep, you know.
Right.
When things are really going sideways, and they just hit me hard. Well, you texted me. I think did we talk about it on the podcast? Yeah. You're texting me that thing's coming, and that was just.
Yeah, nuts. I just happened to pull up the weather because I was curious of, you know, what kind of weather, you know, how hot. And it said it was like high 80 today. And then I saw the radar and I'm like, well, that looks kind of impressive.
Right.
And, you know, it said, hey, you know, I know sometimes, you know, you don't have cell coverage on the water. So I text you, I'm like, hey, 3 hours, you're supposed to get hit. And I'm hoping you got that text because it's like, you know, I don't imagine your phone. Do you get notifications on your phone like there's a million acre wildfire blaze bearing down on your home or anything like
that?
I got you.
But no, it's been crazy. The one thing I'll tell you this, it's one of these deals where I gotta admit. Little secret here. When I make a bait, right, I have this light bulb moment in my head. And I go, I want a bait that does this, right? I spend, Jay, what would you say, 18 months throwing it probably? Like forever.
Historically,
you. Generally, I go and show my wife and she looks at me like, oh, that's dumb. And then I call Jay for affirmation, right? And I get this bait, and I'm like, all right, I've got to learn everything about this bait. I've got to spend so much time with it. I've got to do this, got to do that. And then after I've done that, I'm so sick of seeing it. It comes out on the market, right? So everybody's seen it. It's like, oh, here's the video. You know, I caught a bunch of fish on the prototype, and then I catch them on the production. And then you're like, you get to the point where you go, if I have to see this bait again, I'm going to vomit. Just gonna vomit. But I actually this week, for the first time in a long time, I catch fish on them, but I really kind of bared back down on Titan, which was cool. And kind of fell back in love with it. Mike Lowe, we were out, and I told him, I said, man, I haven't thrown this thing in forever, like out of anger, right? People ask me, hey, how do I work? And I'll show them on the boat, and I'm doing my thing with it. You know, and I'll let them throw it and they catch fish, but I'm just like, ugh, I'm so sick of seeing it, right? And I kind of had enough time removed from that and just, Jay, it just smokes fish. That thing just smokes fish. I had a three fish afternoon on it, picking the nastiest cabbage. You remember when me, you, and Doug Smith went out, like before they were available, and I threw it into the nastiest weeds ever, and I said, watch this, and it just comes through clean, right?
Yeah, we did that river trip. Right. Sure. Yeah. I remember that.
And that's been some years. And I'm sitting here fooling around going, man, I just need to pick this cabbage apart. And I went, it just does the thing.
Was it 2 years ago you guys had that? Was it 2 years ago the water level was really low and it changed the aspect of everything? You guys made adjustments and you're like, the dive rise game with the Titan was really effective.
It's just one of those deals. But back in that nasty cabbage stuff, and I kind of found how, again, how powerful. And I don't know if I used to say it, but the way I realized how I fish it, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, is The most effective way that I fished that bait, yes, it works around rocks, blah, 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 all this other stuff, is back in the cabbage, back in the nasty stuff, that dark, you know, you see the black cabbage, you see the tops of it, and I'm snapping it. I want to feel every time I snap that rod down, I'm not sweeping it like a suik, I'm snapping it like a minnow bait. And it's diving down and coming up and just slow, like whack, whack. And I want to feel that line, just that tiniest bit of slack line to smack. You'll feel it in the rod tip. And it's embarrassing. I had to kind of get a feel for it again myself, Jeff. It had been a minute, you know,
And you're probably running it unweighted or just very little weight in that.
No weight. Right? The classic, what I always like to do is that bait with just the screw. That's my favorite.
Oh, okay, I got you.
In the summer, like this, it's like, and I'm seeing the value again of, you get sick of people asking you about that bait, and you just go, ugh, if I ever have to throw it again. But just the value of it in that thick stuff where I can smack it in place one, two, three times where it's advancing very little, and just that smack line, not like a slack line twitch with a minnow, but just smacking that slack line, and it just keeps hitting in the same spot, and they just come unglued. So that's definitely a valuable little trick right now, and something been rocking on. What have you been seeing on the rivers? All the fun stuff you're doing there, bud.
I did go out to the river yesterday, probably last time. Water levels are really dropping fast now, so weeds are starting to come back there. Talked to another guy, Brian, that fishes it too. We were talking about the river and the ups and downs with that stretch, because he's familiar with it more than anyone else I know. And it was interesting talking to him about that. So just off year for it because of weed growth. And traditionally, they start by the end of August, they really start letting water out. You're familiar with that situation with your reservoirs and all that. And it's kind of the same deal. So might be last time I go out there. I hit a lake today, so that was pretty cool. I saw a guy. Remember we were out that one time, and that one time I got that really nice one on that sand cat on that local lake.
Yep.
And remember, you know, just before that, you were commenting. It's just like,
you know, kind of smoldering.
You know how sound. Yeah, that's it. You know how sound carries over a lake. You know, you're like, God, look how fast those guys are fishing, man.
Yeah.
It's like they were just smoking fast through there. I saw a guy today. I think he was going 6 miles an hour.
On the troller. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he had, I don't know. There's one guy driving and there's two guys casting up, and one front and one back. And it's just like they're making shoreline casts to weed edges and weed pockets. And I've never seen a bull move that fast in my life. It was
crazy. When the baits are dragging behind it before you hit the figure eight, you know you're in trouble. You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, it's funny. God, you're seeing that actually. Yeah, I've got scope on the boat. Everybody knows that. But I'm not even turning it on, dude. You know, you see it out here in the main base, and you'll see the boats out there going 4 miles an hour with some guy standing up there with a tube. You know, and I go, this is not fun. It's just so, so not fun. But yeah, that's one thing, the slowdown. It's so hard to force yourself to slow down and pick things apart, even in the summer months. And I see it in camp, like when I'm hanging out with other anglers, and it's nice because, you know, you meet a bunch of different people. It's kind of like it is my vacation, right? I get to not be a guide. I get to just chill. I get to fish for myself for once. You know, oh, I hooked him. I caught one. I hadn't caught a muskie till I got up here. I'd hooked them and handed them off, right? And you know, it's so funny when you talk to people and you just go, "Hey, you know, slow down." And their concept of what slowing down is still not slow enough. Simply not slow enough. You know, I had a ridiculous week last week, just beyond Thunderdome, you know, couple 50s in there, bunch of mid 40s, you know, literally again, fish that didn't deserve the iron. You got, you know, a 36 coming in, you go, let me just pull the bait out. Let's not waste the time. It's just ridiculous. But that's in
it's good. Going, it's a good situation to be in when you're well, when you're thinking that way. When that's your mindset, well, you know, you it's just like no. We're going for something different here.
Today. Yeah, yeah,
and you spotted the super hog.
Yeah, I did. I did. We moved it. Like
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I know where a bunch of big ones are, but that one's scary. There's a scary. We'll see if I get it, but I saw a scary. But it's funny, like talking to people in camp where you go, you know, how's your week going? I always tell everybody anything. I don't care. I mean, we do the podcast and I'll tell you what's going on. Everything I said last week was literally what I'm doing. And, you know, just gabbing with guys and they go, you know, we haven't got one yet. Haven't got one yet. And it's Wednesday. Haven't got one yet. And it's Thursday. Haven't got one yet. Right? You're 4 or 5 days in doing the same shit. It's perplexing to me that that's a thing.
Right.
That you're trying to essentially at that point force your will. You know, when are you going to give up and say, I need to change what I'm doing? It's not the fish. They're not where you want them to be. That's why I say it on the podcast. I've watched guys come up. They got their 1 week a year. And they go, you know, we caught one off of Peg Leg Joe's Cove on this bucktail in 1974. It's going to work. You know, so being not even willing, being cognizant enough to make a change. It's so important where you just have to ebb and flow. And, you know, I think a lot of it, Jay, you don't gravitate to musky fishing if you're not a type A personality very much, right? There's a lot of type A guys that do this. Mm-hmm. But they get on a boat and they think they're going to force their will on others, right? In business, that's kind of how I roll. It seems to be at times, you know, I'm not real, you know, not real roll over kind of guy. And you look at this and you look at musky fishing, and you go, I just have to roll with it. Let the wind take me. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you just have to be in the moment. And that's the heart. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of this is you can actually be in the moment, but you have to like stop trying to force it. And roll with it more so than anything. Where I'm seeing these guys, they just keep hammering the same thing all day long. Where it's, again, if you're doing this, it's so important that you have these other things under your belt where you go, I'm comfortable with fishing tubes, right? I haven't caught fish on tubes. It's not something I've done very often. You know, or I've not caught fish on bulldogs.
But that's a good point. That's a good point.
You've got a feel for it. You got an idea of it, right?
Yeah, because that's part of doing your homework. That's mm-hmm. part of being acceptive of changing, make a drastic change. Because, you know, some people that are more on the weekend warrior, side of things, they might fish a couple weekends a year, but they have their big Canadian trip. And
right.
historically, this has always worked, right?
Right.
If you're not strong with something different, you know, tubes are a great example. You know, they can be on the punishing side physically a little right. bit at times. And it's a completely different style of fishing than throwing out shallow running bucktails.
Right.
You know, and quite often late July, early August, that's peak, you know, double tens, Lake of the Woods, Eagle Lake, I'm sure has, you know, normally has a period like that where yep. it wasn't last year. You better yeah. be, you know, acceptive of change and trying something different to make the fish go, because that wasn't working. I mean, we talked with Danny Herbeck several times about that.
It's
about all the you know.
There's a trap
differently. Yeah.
There's a trap, which is mm-hmm. and you know, I get so far removed from, again, time and experience. You know, time and experience, and you get far removed from it, and it's good for me. I like the experience up here every year. Because it kind of re-centers me where some people are, right? Left to their own devices, not in a bad way. But you speak to somebody and they go, well, this worked. And they're so fearful if they take that off, they're going to miss their opportunity. Right? Where last year this worked. Let's say a stagger blade and an 8-9, right? And they caught three and they had the best week of the year and it was great and life is good. Mm-hmm. And they come back and the game plan ends at that bait. Right? They hit the muskie shop up. They bought 14 of them in whatever color it was, right? They got rainbow strawberry shortcake butt monkey. They got 14 of them. And now
good
they're
color,
ready.
By the way.
Huh?
Good color,
it's
by the
strong.
Way.
It's strong. It's a strong one.
Yeah, it is. It's strong to, yeah, very strong.
But, right, but they get that bait, and they get going on the thing, and that's it. And then when that doesn't materialize, they start thinking it's the fish and it's not them, right? Where there's being headstrong, and there's also a point where we just take a breath and we go, okay, you're not going to miss Goliath if you put that down. When do we change it up, right? I thought in my head, I went, well, I'm satiated that they are not shallow this morning.
Recognizing pattern changes, for sure.
And again, up here, guess what I'm doing? Mid, shallow, deep, right? Actually, I'm actually
going to checklist.
Yeah, shallow, mid, deep, but you know what I'm getting. And you have to do it because once you think you know what's happening, it's not happening. The second I feel confident is the second it falls apart. That is just so true, where having that little bit of versatility, and I think it's important because I talked to some anglers this week where great people, they love musky fishing, they're loaded up on the gear, they don't even waste their time in whatever home state it is or waste their time here or there, you know. But you can get a little more acclimated with some of these baits where maybe you go out and spend a weekend and go, okay, let me just figure out tubes. There's not even a musky here. I used to say that in the past. Go out and work on glide baits where there's no pressure, meaning you're not going to catch a musky. So what are you worried about? Get that bait looking right. Right? Go down to the public freaking pond that's full of bluegill and learn how to work a glide bait where you will not be bothered by a muskie.
Get comfortable with some weaknesses in your game.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
That's it. And identify them and go, okay, maybe I don't understand this bait. How do I do this? How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So we at least have some of these core components because, again, the blades in the topwater thing, throw it out, turn the handle, fish on in. We all know that. What does a Titan look like in the water? How am I snapping it? That looks good. That looks bad. Don't do this. Don't do that. Right? Say it to them blue in the face. Hey, how do you run a bulldog? Right? You spend the time, you know, again, and we're going to work on some more of these. Jay, you just put up those videos here kind of during season about like tubes and all this other stuff where people are eating it up right now. You know, with the new instructional videos.
Yeah, the one you did last week was great. It was, I think you went 27 minutes, one take, first take on tubes. Yeah, that was the tube one last week. Right. It's excellent.
Well, that was a we, not a me. Jay's the director, folks. He gives me all the prompts I need. You're like the Martin Scorsese.
I'm the director, the lighting guy, and unfortunately the makeup artist.
Well, you're more the
a lot goes into making you look good, man.
Musky fluffer.
Wow.
What?
Okay, where's this going? Off the rails, baby.
Off the rails. Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, we got more. Yeah, you did a couple we got some more interesting little ones that are instructional, man.
Yeah, I'm having fun
with that stuff.
I do too. We've gotten some emails about it. But anyway, good. I want to get back on the water here, so we're going to hit some Q&A.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get into musky fishing more. I've been fishing pike, but the gear I currently have is inadequate. What release tools do I need for musky and larger pike? You need Nipex, jaw spreaders, a musky net, not a pike net. What else you got, Jay?
Well, for starters, just buy the toolkit at the Husky shop. We put together an amazing toolkit that has the basics. It doesn't come with a net. That would be something extra, but or, you know, a measuring tool, but it's got the basics like split ring pliers, hook cutters, jaw spreaders, mm-hmm. stuff like that in a Plano box that you can, you know, use for the tools and or lures. So pretty affordable. Everything's in one package. It's just like, it's all good stuff. And, you know, we were talking about Herbeck last night, big Papa Herbeck, the big guy.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Know, no pliers.
Like, yeah. Mr. Oh, geez. Well, what happened? Well, client dropped one overboard. This happened. You're out of luck when that happens. That could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
Not having tools. And with you guys catching those big fish, and it's just like, we all want to be incredibly respectful of this resource because
right.
muskies are beyond cool, and they are fragile little creatures, sometimes big creatures.
Speaking of tools, Jay, why'd the guy on the internet say we're the biggest tools in musky fishing? Was he talking about our Nip-X?
The guy on the internet, I don't know that one, but I'm sure someone said that.
Tool of the month.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Sweet of you.
Jake, I fish pressured water in Minnesota, don't have a ton of access to other waters, and I have a cabin on this lake. I've been having little success on the water and curious if I'm missing something. I pay attention to the weather and see what the water temps have been doing and taking that in consideration. I'll check, he's doing the bait check, I'm paraphrasing here. He's finding bait on break lines, just off them. It seems I can throw every bait under the sun, depending on conditions, running depth, the chief. Still have a little success. Curious if the added pressure to the lake means I need to try something different, or am I reading the water wrong? Pressure is a thing, right? It is, especially when we're talking like Metro, you know, or Minnesota. Nobody, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of dummies, right? Yeah. Those fish are seeing good presentations. They're seeing them presented well. It's, you just got to grind through it, right? Try something different.
Probative baits.
I've seen it where, you know, Dr. Bob's told me some really good stuff where it's like, okay, if I hear there's a blade bite, I'm throwing glide baits, right? When people are ripping okay. rubber, I'm doing this. Try to be the opposite, right? So, the best tip I'd have for you is, and we're talking extreme pressure. I mean, those mm-hmm. lakes get beat. Find offbeat baits. Like if they're running, if you're here, like, hey, guys are catching on tubes, what can I do that's different, right? Do I mix it up with, again, something like that grenade, right? That mayhem thing. You know, that's a weird bait to me where it's like, okay, that's kind of tube-esque, or what kind of that stands out, or, you know, the beaver bait extra heavy, or
yeah,
something of that nature just to stand out from the pack, because pressure is pressure. Again, Dr. Bob told me one time, is like, there's one lake where by the population study, there should be like 500 muskies, but there's like 75 boats a day, every day.
Yeah,
that's pretty severe. So don't beat yourself up. Just kind of mix it up to the best of your ability. Colin, hey, heard a Colin question regarding Tranks issue. Okay, he had another Trankser here. He said, I bought a new Tranks this year that ended up broken out of the box, discovered on the first tip with drag that would back off over short periods of casting. Thought I'd share the story of my new Tranks owners to make sure their drags are not defective. Okay, so he's just sharing. It happens. Again, they go through a lot of reels. Trank sells a ton. Again, you're just going to get a bad apple in a bag every night, now and again. You know, but I would say, realistically, Jay, wouldn't you say that's probably the least returned reel at the shop?
It is.
I mean, they're rock solid.
Them and Akumas, yeah. I mean, per capita, you know, it's just like, right. You know, the Tranks is number one, so...
I mean,
yeah, it's extremely, it really is extremely rare. If you got a bad reel out of the box, no matter who makes it, does happen.
Yeah.
They'll replace it, you know, wherever you got it from, they will replace it for you, you know.
Yeah.
So check it out, put it through the riggers right when you get it, and make sure everything's operational. If it's not, have it replaced.
There's a lot of moving parts, figuratively and literally. You know, it happens. I've had it happen once or twice, but yeah, check your gear when you get it, flat out. And that's another good point. Say you're doing your one trip of the year, right? Make sure you have that thing spooled up and check it. You know, take it out to the local bass pond if you don't have muskies in your area or whatever you got to do, and work it that way. It's funny. It's again, not many tranks complaints. You know, I'm kind of starting to lean towards the Akuma side of things just because they're bulletproof. You know, but it is what it is. But still a solid reel. I would say, I mean, if you don't like a Tranx, though, like the we talked about last week, there's a Akuma, Citrix, and a few others there. But Ed, howdy. I'm trying to figure out how to get a bite on suspended fish in deep water. I can locate the bait and typically mark fish, but haven't had any luck with these suspended fish. Kraken or burbot tube? Pick your poison. Suspended fish, and you just throw it at them and work it down to their depth. Let it go past your face. Bang, 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 right? Danny kind of makes a living doing that, right? You'll see a fish, and he'll work that burbot tube like he's trying to rip his shoulder out of socket. Me, I'll throw the Kraken and kind of finesse it back and try to get him to, you know, go on that a little bit more subtle. But that's kind of the suspended fish game I see the most now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are...
Again, of course, trolling plays a part of that, too, but just make sure you're trolling above them.
Right, troll above them. And the biggest thing, too, with suspendos that people, if you're marking them, that people will think, okay, I'm just going to blow by these fish, and they really don't add any jukes or jives in their trolling pass. Right, they're not really mixing it up enough in that trolling pass.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, I moved that fish when, right? It's not like I went around, you know, Eddie's rock bar. I better turn. So if you're trolling suspended fish, kind of assume every X, Y, and Z. Let's say every 30 feet of advancement, I need to do something, right? Because trolling can turn into like the never-ending follow in my brain. So when we don't have structure to kind of baseline off of when we should turn and when we should add that thing in there, make sure in open water on the suspended fish, periodically do something. Stall the boat, slow her down so they float up, and then go back into gear a little fast, right? Rip the rod, whatever you need to do, that it's going to mix things up there for you. Anyway, soup's on. I just heard soup's on, Jay.
Well, muskie's on. You're getting back. You got the itch.
I'm itchy. You would think I was covered in chiggers the way I'm. I haven't fished harder in years, if you can't tell. Speaking of fishing hard, as I ramble on here, I'm feeling my first amazing deer fly bite on my head.
You are the original scare clown. I've seen the pictures.
Oh, my
God. Not pretty, folks. Tell them what you had to do to survive the day.
Okay, this is how hard I'm fishing. We're out. Scored one, right?
Yeah.
Let's move spots. And I feel something right next to my temple. I'm driving the boat. And I go, right? I stopped the boat. It feels like I've been stabbed in the forehead. Or in the temple. And I go, oh, what was that? And I smack it, and it's a deer fly.
Gross. And I go,
gross. Move on. And in about 4 minutes, my head feels again like I've been hit with a T-ball bat. And I just go, all right, this sucks. And I try the old, if you ever get a mosquito bite and you like kind of make an X with your fingernail or something, you know, you just kind of jam it in there, try to spread out the whatever. I do that, and I think it's going to be okay. And then it just keeps hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting. And about 15 minutes later, I start seeing my eyelid in my field of vision.
Ooh.
Right? That continues until I can't see out of my right eye. And I was like, we might want to go to camp. Go to camp. I literally look like Mike Tyson had one at my face, Jay. It was horrible. My eyes all red. It's so swollen I can't even get my contact out. So, smart move here. What I decided to do is let's just take some electrical tape and pull your eye back. So I put electrical tape right about at the eyeball, pulled it back to my
You're like, get me back on the water, coach.
Cut me, yeah. Mick. Cut me. So I go out there and Rocky Balboa three in the boat with my freaking eyebrow pinned back, and it's just still swelling. And I come back to camp and I peek around the corner just to send a dumb pic to Jay, where I have hydrocortisone over half my face. I have a black eye now, by the way, from it. It swelled up so bad. I had what we'd say would be an extreme reaction. But, oh, well, it happens. What
yeah,
do you do?
It does. Yeah. Those things are nasty.
Yeah, the swelling, it was kind of fun. It went from my eyebrow and it just kind of went down my face over the course of a day. So I was like, oh, now your cheek's the size of a... oh, man, that was not fun. Least favorite thing I've done in a while. Not my favorite thing. But anyway, well, goodness, Jay, I'm going to be a greedy little musky monkey here and get back on the water here. But anyway,
awesome. Good luck.
Say good afternoon, Jay. The night.
Good afternoon, guys. Later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.